for June 1st, 2005. And before us, we have Senate Bill 535 and also Senate Bill 534. We'll start with staff.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, you have in front of you a memo from LFO on Senate Bill 5534, which is the Department of Consumer and Business Services budget bill. And I will start with the packages. Package 070 reflects revenue adjustments taken in the base for the agency. What the agency did was to back out the revenue and the staffing based on a revenue shortfall in both the Division of Finance and Corporate Securities and in the Building Codes Division. You will see a restoration of the Finance and Corporate Securities reduction in Package 161. The Building Codes reduction is not restored. And that package was adjusted for PERS, AG, and SNS reductions in Package 161 so that the dollars match. Package 075 is a placeholder for the scenic transfer. Package 090 is the budget and management analyst reduction to services and supplies and savings from the Smart Buy program. Package 161, as I just mentioned, is the restoration of those positions that were cut in the base. I should point out these. This assumes approval of the fee bill. On the next page, package 801 are the LFO analyst standard adjustments for PERS. And AG rate. I also did a revenue adjustment in Orbitz based on the May forecast, and there is a table attached. And then package 802 is an LFO reduction of 3% to services and supplies. What this reduction does is adjust the limitation to more closely reflect the actual expenditure patterns in the department. And with that, those are the budget packages that LFO is recommending approval of.
Any discussion on the budget packages? Seem pretty straightforward. Chair to entertain a motion to approve the budget packages.
Mr. Chair, I move the budget packages as reported by LFO.
Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, so ordered.
The next section has to do with the ending fund balances. LFO took a look at the ending fund balances. The operating portion of the budget has an ending balance of $75,023,302 in other funds. The non-limited portion is $154,813,325. And LFO does an analysis of what is included in it. The ending balance for non-limited is the statutory 12 months. The ending balance for the operating is 2 quarters.
Very good. Any discussion on that? Objection? Senator Westland moves we approve the ending fund balances.
Mr. Chair, there is a budget note that directs the department to report to the emergency board if there are substantial changes made in the manufactured housing program.
I'll give some discussion on this. There's a long history behind the budget note. Everyone's trying to figure out what the best way to approach this is, trying not to get into policy, trying to encourage the agency and the manufacturer people to work together on this, and we're trying to do things like we did last session where we encourage these outfits to work together rather than being too prescriptive. And Senator Johnson worked very hard on this, I know, and perhaps a number of the others have been involved in the process. So I appreciate everyone's efforts out there as well as here, and look forward to finding this outfit a good home and or working it the best way we can to make sure that the public's protected and the manufacturers are protected as well. Any discussion? Senator Morris.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What I am unclear, and with your indulgence, possibly
correct,
have some dialogue with the department, is the issue one of policy or is it one of performance with respect to carrying out what the policy has been stated in terms of by statute? And I wonder if maybe you could enlighten us with respect to this issue.
Mr. Chair, Senator Morse, for the record, I'm Corey Stratus here, Director of the Department of Consumer and Business Services. Excuse me. And obviously we try to work closely with all of our stakeholders, including those in the manufactured housing area. There have been a number of issues raised by those interested in this program. We are in the process of implementing a new element authorized by the legislature last session in Senate Bill 468. That has just gone live within the last couple of months, and there are still ongoing issues about exactly how that is progressing and whether changes need to be made. There's some interest in some of the stakeholders about separating themselves from this department and forming a new agency. And then there are a set of ongoing issues about the working relationships with this group of stakeholders. We expect to have, as we always do, an ongoing dialogue on those issues. We try to be as responsive as we can, and we're happy to work with anyone who's interested in these issues on how best to proceed. We don't, at this point, anticipate significant changes other than continued implementation of the tasks that have been given us to implement and continued working with this group of stakeholders. I don't know if that answers your question,
Senator.
Well, maybe a little more specifically, apparently there's an advisory group that had been formed by statute, and looking at the history of that frequency of meetings, quite a number that were canceled. So it appears that there's maybe a lack of involvement of the industry, and maybe you could comment on that if you would.
Mr. Chair, Senator Morse, I think I'll ask Joan Fraser, the Deputy Administrator of the Building Codes Division, to come forward also. The board, by statute, meets twice a year, and I don't believe there have been cancellations of those meetings. Senate Bill 468 process did involve a whole series of stakeholders and a whole series of meetings. I can't speak to whether there are specific meetings that were or weren't canceled at a particular point in time.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Joan Fraser. I'm the Deputy Administrator of the State Building Codes Division, and I don't know about canceled meetings per se. I do know there was some discussion about the Manufactured Structures Board being involved in Senate Bill 468, which transferred manufactured structures, titling and registration and dealer regulation to Building Codes Division. However, that was not in the bill. The Manufactured Structures Board does not have county or title or escrow representatives, so that was not part of the bill. And as far as we were concerned, we needed to be in close contact with the people who would be really impacted by the bill, all of them. So we did not approach the board. They did get notice of the rules, and they could have provided input, and I think they did provide input into our rules.
Very good. Any other questions? Further? Yes, Senator Johnson.
Just following along on this discussion that you've had with Senator Morse, what I haven't heard, and I have to draw on my own time as the manager of a state agency that had, I think, at any given time, at least three advisory boards, it feels like there's a little bit of pushback. Like, is there an issue here that needs to be more fully developed? You have an advisory board that I think is willing, able, and ready to participate, and it seems to me, particularly in your last answer, that they were sort of relegated to a status of anybody can get public notice of the rules, anybody can participate. And I guess what I'm looking for is some level of engagement for this particular advisory board that goes beyond they can get notice and come if they want.
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, I think that's probably one way of looking at it. We felt that because of the nature of this and because it's all about an area, our advisory board was set up for construction purposes. Building codes is a construction regulation of construction standards. We are not into the titling or banking or escrow or lending area and neither is the board. And so, again, it was our judgment, because the board was not part of that bill, and in all of our statutes, the boards are clearly identified. It was our judgment, in order to get it up and running, that we really needed to spend the time talking to the people that were most closely affected. That may be the wrong thing, but that was what we, that's what we did. And that's why.
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, if I could add, we value the input and working relationship with our boards very much, mm-hmm. and obviously it's always a judgment call what specific issues to take to formal board meetings as opposed to more informal stakeholder involvement, and if this is something that that as Joan said, that we should have handled in a slightly different way, we're always happy to learn about that. We do value the relationship with the boards very much and the input that we get from them.
Follow-up, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Do you see a mechanism, Corey, whereby it seems to me there may be some kind of grinding on grinding. Do you see a mechanism whereby the agency or the division could re-engage with the board or re-engage with some of the folks that feel as though maybe they haven't gotten the level of engagement that they'd want from the agency? Do you see a vehicle to go forward with a better working relationship, stop trying to track down and punish the guilty, but figure out a mechanism to go forward and have a renewed level of communication and maybe a more formalized methodology to share industry concerns with the agency?
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, the issue specifically with relationship to the Senate Bill 468 project, that is this new multi-jurisdictional system for tracking the ownership documents and titling of manufactured housing, is definitely a work in progress. There were a number of specific elements set out in the bill, but there are also a number of elements that other stakeholders are interested in. So it is the system had to be up and running by, I believe, May 1st, and it is up and running, but it is not the finished product. So absolutely, there is not only room for, but the intent to have a continuing discussion. And I believe there's actually some legislation which is currently active on the House side to actually look at what the bill, whether last session's bill needs to be fine-tuned. But as Joan said, a lot of the current issues that we're actively engaged on are how to make this work for the counties and the tax assessors, as well as the dealers, and as well as the industry at large. So it is a stakeholder group that is broader than the stakeholder group that has traditionally been involved in these issues. We want to make sure that that whole range of stakeholders is included in the discussion, not that any are excluded. It's certainly not our intent to exclude the traditional building-oriented stakeholder groups, but rather to be inclusive.
Very good.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Yes, Senator Burke.
Yes, I actually am kind of intrigued by the conversation that I'm hearing back and forth, because I'm not sure that I quite understand the order here. Just exactly where is this particular department in advisory board under, in other words, would you kind of list that and let me get a better perspective of where they are in the organization?
Mr. Chair, Senator Berger, the department has a number of divisions within it. The Workers' Compensation Division, the Insurance Division, Finance and Corporate Securities. One of those divisions is the Building Codes Division. Right. Within the Building Codes Division, there are a number of separate programmatic areas: electrical, plumbing, structural, elevators, boilers, manufactured housing. We have seven different boards within the Building Codes Division. Each of those boards has its members nominated by the, appointed by the governor, confirmed by the Senate, and they have different statutory roles. Many of them have rulemaking authority, and some of them have more advisory and consultative roles. So they are within the Building Codes Division, and they have specific programmatic roles.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Well, we can see why we need to have this discussion in the interim. That's good discussion here, and hopefully we'll better work things out to everyone's advantage as we go through the process here. So the Chair would entertain a motion to approve the budget note.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Johnson.
Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I would move the committee approve the budget note.
Thank you.
As presented in the LFO documents.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. All right.
The next area, Mr. Chair, is the performance measure review. I've attached the legislatively adopted performance measures with revisions. The revisions were discussed to some extent with the Joint Committee when the agency was in front of the Joint Committee. The changes are on performance measure one, change to percent of regulated entities operating at desirable levels of accountability or soundness. Performance measure 13, change the number of building permits issued that can be used by contractors in multiple jurisdictions for minor construction work. And performance measure 14, change to percent of workers' benefit fund expenditure requests determined to be eligible.
Discussion? I thought in general I was very pleased with the performance measures that came out of this agency. They really seemed to track a lot, especially the varied programs and stuff you deal with. I think that hopefully they'll be very helpful. Number four was sort of an output measure, but I think it's still valuable to track. I wouldn't call it necessarily an outcome, but it was good. So I was generally favorable with that. Senator Wesson.
Mr. Chair, maybe Corey or someone from the agency could talk about, I mean, it's not even a numbered performance measure, but percent of customers rating their overall satisfaction with the agency above average or excellent, and it's added.
Senator Wesson, we're adding that to every agency has those. That we're trying to standardize the customer service measures so that every agency, even though it may be a little tough for some agencies, like if you're the Department of Corrections, to have customers fully satisfied with the service you're providing.
Well, and I guess I don't need Corey to speak necessarily, but it's not that I have a concern. It's not what we do. It's not what we do. It's how we do it type of comment, more specifically how they do it. What I just don't want to see is some self-fulfilling prophecy here. I expect this to be rigorously administered, and when you put the methodology down in front of us, we go, oh, yeah, okay, that works. Gee, you really are doing great here, or this needs help over here. I mean, it needs to be meaningful. We don't need fluff and puff coming back.
Mr. Senator Chair, Johnson? can I demonstrate to my good colleague from Tumalo how this works?
Tumalo?
I had the occasion to need some help from your workers' comp division the other day to work out a very complex problem that I had with a constituent at home. And your agency could not have been more helpful. We're still in the process of resolving it, but they were responsive on the telephone. They came with a solution. They offered to hold my hand through the whole time of getting it fixed. John, particularly in the workers' comp division, was just outstanding. So that's customer feedback, Senator Wood.
As Mr. Chair, as usual, the good senator from, you know, someplace over by the coast has again missed the nuance of the discussion. This is the methodology for accumulating this data, not the personal testimonial. That comes at the end of the agenda, Senator Johnson, after we've all left.
Good points all around.
Mr. Chair, Senator Westland, I will say we actually agree that this needs to be not fluff. We have had a customer service performance measure as part of our performance measures since before it became statewide. You'll see it in there as, I think, number 8. And we have actually been involved in the statewide group putting this together. And this was a subject of discussion in the Ways and Means Committee last session. And one of our goals is excellence in customer service. And we came in and said, well, our goal is to have some high percentage of satisfaction. And the question came back from Ways and Means Committee is, wait a minute, you say you want excellence. Why are you settling for satisfaction? Don't track the people who rate you positive. Track the people who rate you excellent. So we said, good point, and started doing that. So we track both. We do want to know. We use a 4-point scale so that we're not encouraging everybody to go to the middle. We track the number of people who rate us positive, but we actually focus on, in our performance measure measures, the people who rate us at the highest possible level. And we're a regulatory agency. That's actually somewhat of a challenge.
That was well put. Okay, any further discussion? Any objections to the performance measures as modified by LFO here? Seeing none?
I move the performance measures as reported and modified by LFO, Mr. Chair.
Good. So, order.
Mr. Chair, with that, we can move into the appropriation bill. The LFO recommendations result in a total agency budget of $619,938,047, including $177,450,440 other funds and $442,487,607 non-limited other funds and $1,060.42 FTE. Attached to my packet, you will see the Dash 1 amendments to the budget bill. The Dash 1 amendments were simply incorporating the budget bill, the previous budget bill, into the new budget bill number. And so the amendments that I am asking for from the committee are amendments to the Dash 1 amended bill. And that is on line 4 to delete $179,434,083 and insert $177,450,440.
So we are doing amendment to the Dash 1s.
Yes, Mr. Chair. And Senator Westman.
I'll go over that prior. So we're deleting the $179,434 and inserting the $177,450.
That's correct.
Mr. Chair, I would move the deletion in line 4 of $179,434,083 and insert $177,450,440.
Mr. Chair? Yes, Senator Moore.
Is it line 4 or line 6?
It should be line 4.
Line 4.
If you were looking at the original version,
okay.
If you look at the my handout today,
okay.
It doesn't.
Okay.
Good, that's good. I just,
yeah.
Oops, I got to be on my toes here. Good pickup, sir.
It's dangerous.
That's right. Because, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I did not know where things were going to line up when I got the Dash 1 amendments, and what I gave you was before I got the Dash 1 amendments.
Okay. Thank you.
Any further discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, so ordered.
And, Mr. Chair, the final action would be to move Senate Bill 5534-1 as amended to the full Senate Budget Committee with a due pass recommendation.
Mr. Chair, I would move Senate Bill 5534-1 as amended and reported by LFO to the full Senate Budget Committee with a due pass recommendation.
Further discussion? Objection? So ordered.
And, Mr. Chair, I need a carrier.
Oh, gosh. Well, Senator Berger. You mind, Senator? Carry the bill?
Sure.
Beautiful. Let's go to Senate Bill 5535, the DCBS fee bill.
Mr. Chair, as with the previous bill, we amended the Senate Bill 5535 to incorporate the DCBS fee bill. So what you have in front of you is the Dash 1 version of the bill. The fee bill adjustments are detailed on the attached spreadsheet. The front page, as has been testified to, is a consolidation of a number of fees and is revenue neutral. These are plumbing program fees and are designed to be revenue neutral. On the back are the proposed fees in the finance and corporate securities area, and the increases are shown.
I guess I'd ask the director to come forward and just talk briefly, very briefly, about the stakeholder involvement and how these fees came to be.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, again, for the record, I'm Corey Streisinger, Director of the Department of Consumer and Business Services. Each of these fees goes through an extensive stakeholder process. We are an other funds agency, and we rely heavily on our stakeholder support. And so each of these, it's actually a rulemaking proceeding to set the fees, but we also use stakeholder advisory groups. The first set of fees in the plumbing program, as was mentioned, are revenue neutral. The purpose of these fees is to consolidate and make life considerably easier for the contractors who pay the fees. And I think you heard some testimony about the amount of time spent sitting at the kitchen table trying to calculate the fees that will be saved under this simplified structure. So these are very strongly supported by the industry. The finance and corporate securities fees, again, have industry support. We go through the program elements carefully with our stakeholders, and there's been quite a bit of discussion about the mortgage lending and consumer finance and pre-needs trust program. Again, I think you have letters in the file from the stakeholders in support of each of these fees and an understanding of the need and an agreement with the need to have a strong regulatory program that these fees would support. In the worker leasing area, again, this is a fee that's supported by the industry. We actually went through an interesting dialogue during the interim about whether it was possible to deregulate in this area, and the feedback we got from the industry is that they actually supported the continued regulation and the fee increase. And this program is a very, very small program. With the fee increase, it will still be at the one FTE level. But because it's a small industry, the dollar amount of the fees is sizable, and the industry supports the fee increase to maintain the program at the level they believe is appropriate.
Discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator Berger.
It really concerns me through the budget process that we see all the fees continuing to climb in doing business. I express that as an overall philosophy and not necessarily the fees that have been addressed just by this one agency. I feel that whether it's business that's impacted or whether it's individual Oregonians, the cost of living today just continues to climb in every one of the budgets that I look at. So I just want that on the record as being very concerned about our impetus here to constantly look at ways to raise revenue, and we do it through fees.
Good comment. I guess the saving grace from my, because I think it's a fair comment, certainly can be a perception out there. I appreciate the agencies that work closely with the stakeholders, you know, to try and get them to a place where they're comfortable. Certainly the revenue neutrality of the plumbing ones are well appreciated, and hopefully if there were more members in the other finance division, we'd be able to spread them out and make them less onerous also. So I appreciate the agencies that come before us that have strong stakeholder support, because frankly that's the only way I think any of us would entertain this sort of action. So good comments.
Mr. Chair, I would point out too that at your desk is a packet of letters from the industry related to the fee bill.
Right. Chair Westland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I too appreciate Senator Verger's comments in all aspects of your statement. But I would just point out that many of the same cost drivers that you cite and are justifiably concerned about in terms of everything continuing to rise, everything just costing more, are the same cost drivers that impact the agency's ability to do business. And it's why I think that understanding has allowed the stakeholders and the department to come together with such a collaborative recommendation with regard to these fees. No one likes to raise fees. They're nettlesome, they're bothersome, and they are all too necessary given the climate of particular cost increases, particularly as it relates to our business segment. So I fully appreciate your comments, understand, and but I'd also just offer that as perhaps an explanation as to what's going on here.
Senator Johnson.
Thank you.
in looking at this packet of letters, which I have to say I had not had the opportunity to see prior to walking in here, one of them, particularly I think in what you call the pre-needs area, makes a recommendation about a sliding fee structure that some cemeteries and some members of the association are only writing just a few trusts, others are writing many. To what degree will you take into account recommendations from some of your stakeholders? It seems they've participated. They've left some recommendations, and I'm just curious to hear on the record to what degree the agency will pay attention to those recommendations and help the stakeholders work through the issues.
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, we welcome those suggestions, and we actively work through them. I would point out, for example, in the mortgage lending area, you'll see that the fees are being rearranged so that there's now, in this bill, there will be a new component that is fee per loan originator, and that was specifically in response to some similar suggestions from the industry to structure the fees in a way that was more volume-based, and therefore a mortgage lender with a large number of loan originators would pay more than one with only a few, a direct result of that type of stakeholder input. So we will continue to work with the pre-needs industry and see whether there's a better way to structure that fee as well.
One last question.
Yes, ma'am.
In the pre-needs industry, to what degree do you have an ongoing relationship or communication with, and I'll get this title wrong, I'm going to ask Robin to help me if I bungle it too badly, that the cemetery board that is a...
Mortuary and cemetery board, yeah.
Thank you. To what degree is there a conversation? I've only heard just sort of oblique rumors in the building to the fact that there are some issues being raised at that board level. Mm-hmm. Do you guys overlap at any point in terms of dialogue or issues that you cover? Or?
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, yes, we do, and it tends to be case by case, but if we do have a problem, and we do from time to time, there was an example down in the Eugene area just this past year of an issue where there were both concerns about the money at in trust, which is our area, and concerns about the management of the facility, which is the mortuary board's area, and we did collaborate with them in resolving that those sets of concerns.
Good, thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing none, the chair will entertain a motion to approve the fee adjustments in 5535.
Mr. Chair, I move we approve the fee adjustments in Senate Bill 5535 as outlined by LFO.
Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
Do you have any other items on the agenda?
No, we're just about done.
We're 30 seconds.
I'm right behind you, Carl.
So we're going to approve the fee amendments to Senate Bill 5535-1s. Chair, entertain a motion to that effect also. We did the fee adjustments.
Mr. Chair, I approve the amendments to Senate Bill 5535-1 as reported by LFO.
Discussion, objection, seeing none. And we need a motion to move it to the floor.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 5535-1 as amended to the full Senate Budget Committee with a due pass recommendation.
Discussion, objection, seeing none. So ordered. Thank you. Thank you, committee, very much.
I need a carrier.
To Senator Morris. We are adjourned.
Nothing like
the price of leaving.